Hello and welcome to the Tesla Tips and Tricks podcast. This is Rod Stuckey, joined by my co-host Tori Hornsby. Tori, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here as always. We got another jam-packed week full of great content where we're going to cover the top five, or at least five of the really highly engaged posts from our Tesla Tips and Tricks community. But before we don't do that, if you would, Tori, share a little bit with the newcomers what the Tesla Tips and Tricks community is all about.
Sure. It starts with our Tesla Tips and Tricks Facebook group. It is the largest Tesla Tips-oriented group in the world on Facebook. We have over 277,000 members, and we're dedicated to providing guidance, insights, real-world practical advice for current and prospective Tesla owners to enhance the ownership and the fun of driving one. And we work hard to fight spammers, remove inappropriate content, and ensure a polite and courteous and fun community for Tesla enthusiasts, which can be easier said than done with 277,000 people in the group.
Open 24/7, 365 days a year worldwide as well.
That's right. And I also do want to mention real quick that we've just launched on our website. We've launched a T3 auction. That's what we call our Tesla Tips and Tricks auctions for a 2024 Tesla Model Y. This thing is beautiful. It only has 12,000 miles. And if you haven't seen that auction already, go and check it out. It's on teslatipsandtricks.com. And while you're there, leave a comment on the auction page and just, you know, share your feedback. And we'd love to have the community participate in this auction. Even if you're not going to bid, you can still just add a comment.
Yeah, we love, if we got some Model Y owners out there, we'd love for you to get in there and comment. We look to our community and our members to help vet these cars. We do a really thorough job before we even have a T3 auction of ensuring that these vehicles are the highest quality, but we love when owners get in there and share some of their feedback. It really helps to bring value and to let prospective new Tesla owners understand more about the product. So love having everyone jump in there and look at these auctions. And by the way, if you haven't ever watched the last hour of one of these things, it's a lot of fun. So be sure to do that.
Yes. Yep.
Well, without further ado, let's jump in, Tori. Let's start off. I'm looking at our list here of five of our more engaged posts, and coming from Carl here, 2 years trying to auto park in his garage, and now a little bit of white duct tape did the trick. It doesn't say duct tape. White tape did the trick. I love this one. I have a small garage, and I love this. Take us through what Carl did to with his tape trick.
Sure. Yeah. So this is so that the car will auto park and pull in itself. You can always line the car up and then use summons to just make it go forward and backwards. So you could always do that without the white tape, but the white tape allows you to have it self park and pull into the garage itself. And you know, the comments on this one, the first thing here is Lewis, who says that he's tried several different types of duct tape, simple white duct tape, and it didn't stick if it got wet, and it didn't work as well. So he ended up going with stick gaffer tape, STIKK gaffer tape. And the white gaffer tape worked best for him. And so there's people here, obviously, just with a bunch of different comments of people saying, I mean, you know how opinions are. They're like elbows. Everybody's got two. So people commenting on, like I said, just using the summons to make it go backwards and forwards, but you can get out of the car and make it auto park, and the white tape helps there. And this guy, I don't know if you can see in the picture, for those who aren't watching this video, who are just listening to the audio, he actually did a P in tape, the letter P, and said that helped with Tesla to identify it as a parking spot.
Oh, and then, wow. I didn't even notice that. That's interesting.
And then somebody else comments, still would have trouble trusting it because my car parks like a toddler playing with an RC car. So just have to be careful with it and go slow. I would say just be there ready to intervene, especially if you're using auto, something's going back and forth. Just watch it the first couple of times, make sure it does what you're expecting it to do.
Yeah, and looking at the pictures for those who are just listening and not looking, it also looks like he used maybe a double width, kind of two rows of tape. I don't know if that was just to maybe make the lines a little bit thicker. I've noticed with my Model X that, you know, faded lines and lines that are a little bit, you know, thinner aren't as easily recognized. So I wonder if there's a parallel, pardon the pun, for him kind of using a double width of the tape there.
Parallel parking? No. It could be. Certainly the bigger the lines are, the easier it is. Could be that he started with it and it was too far up, because you can see the ones that he added are longer. Or it could have been that he just wanted the car to be more centered in that white area. So add the single row and then go from there if you need to. But this is, again, for auto park, not just, you can auto summons it back and forth without this, but if you're wanting it to auto park, this is the way to roll.
And, you know, there were some comments in here also of people saying, well, you know, why would you want to do this? And, you know, for me, I have some depth perception issues. And I mean, if you look at that white line, how close it is next to the door with your mirrors folded out and another car in there, I swear these engineers, especially in the neighborhoods I'm in down here in Florida, they calculate mathematically, oh yeah, it's a two car garage, but it's tight. Mm-hmm. And you know, when you're two cars in the garage and you're having to fold your mirrors in to keep your mirrors from clipping the side of the garage, hey, if a little bit of technology can help remove some human error, speaking from experience, unfortunately, if you do hit your garage, the side, it's, you get double the consequences because it damages your car and the stucco or paint on your garage.
Yeah.
So, it's double the expense. So that's my answer to why would you want to do this? Because it can be very tight. So,
mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Well, let's move on to number two on the list here from Umar, sharing another example of how tech can get you out of a jam.
Yeah. So Umar, essentially, I won't read the whole entire post here, but he parked in a downtown neighborhood and went for a walk and took a conference call on his phone. Well, it ended up lasting a lot longer and his phone died. He didn't realize it. So when he got to his car, his phone had died. And so he couldn't get in. And then he left to go and try to find a house that he could go and call. And he was just thinking he would just have to call somebody to come and get him or wait for his wife or whatever. And then it hit him that he had read something about the Apple Watch being a key. And so he says, as I was weighing my option, I remembered that Tesla had recently released an Apple Watch app. I'd never used it, so I looked it up on my watch. He'd never installed it. He fired it up, and sure enough, it had an unlock option after he had logged in. And he unlocked his car, put his phone on the charger in the car, and in just a few minutes, all was well again. And he was just sharing just another example of how tech can get you out of a jam. So we really appreciated this. It wasn't a normal tip or a normal question. He's just sharing and saying, hey, don't forget, just because you haven't installed the Tesla app on your watch doesn't mean you can't use it. And of course, a lot of the comments on this are asking about his watch. You know, does it have cellular service? Yes, it had cellular service because that's how you have to be able to download it. So it would have to be one of the watches with cellular service. It also has to be a Series 6 or above watch, and you have to have the most current iOS system installed on it. So some baseline kind of questions there. But at the end of the day, we just appreciated Umar going, hey, man, this bailed me right out in an unexpected way.
So let me clarify there, Tori, because that's something that I wasn't aware of. Are you saying you have to have a data plan on your Apple Watch for it to work?
No, well, no. He had to download the app. And so if you have the app downloaded, it can work as a key for you. It doesn't have to have a service plan.
Okay. But
he had remembered it and needed to download it. Therefore, if you don't have your phone, you can't just download something to your watch if you don't have a service plan.
Gotcha.
But you don't have to have a service plan for this to work.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I thought. I was just being sure. And that's, you know, when we first in our software update pod, we were talking about the, of course, the Apple Watch update, which was, you know, we had a lot of comments of people saying, I've always got my phone with me. I'm not that excited about this Apple Watch because I always have my phone with me. And the thing that really struck me is, well, the redundancy built in. You lose your phone gets damaged. I just had a daughter jump in the pool with a phone, or maybe for some reason you lose your phone charger and you run out of battery or whatever with your phone. Having some redundancy built in, as Omar just found out, never hurts. That's for sure. Kind of like having a HIDA back in the day, the old magnetic HIDA key, right?
Well, that's what I was going to say. So Tesla has a little key fob that you can carry around. There's rings that you can get that will open up. You can program it to open up your Tesla with a ring. And then there's also Steven here, one of our admins, says that he puts one of the key cards inside of his case between his phone and the case as a backup. I think that there's probably a consequence to that in terms of like, will wireless charging still work if you do that? And I don't know the answer to that, but I think that Apple Watch phone, the ring, the key fob that they have that you can carry with you, all good alternatives for having that kind of HIDA key. Although it's not hidden on the car, you would take it with you. They're small and just incorporated into your, you know, attire on a ring at least. So all good ways to get in the car.
Yep. Well, another real live testimonial about the Apple Watch. So moving on to number three here is Madison. Now this one just kind of blows me away. Sometimes the posts that get so much engagement can be so unsuspecting. I've been wearing black leggings and my white seats look like this now. Tori, how many comments did Madison get on this post about her black leggings?
485, 160 reactions. And for those who are listening and can't see, the black dye on the leggings has worn off onto the seat. And so you can see, it's very clear that it's stained black. And I'm always amazed at posts like this who get so much engagement. And some people obviously are a little rude or offering advice that's not helpful. We'll say it that way.
I was going to say that's 465 and I removed 100 comments myself. And I know that you and Sam and a lot of others that Naveed have as well. So,
well, and the total comment count, I believe, incorporates in the ones we've removed. So if you're 485 and remove one, I think it stays 485, just to be clear. But either way, 485 is still a lot. And, you know, some of the posts say, you know, the top one up here says Dr. Bronner's pure Castile soap with a rag and steamer or hot water, and it'll come right off. One of the replies to this comment is using a steamer, you can delaminate the leather. And so don't do that. And Gilbert says, I don't mean, just to be clear, to apply the steamer to the seat, but I use the steamer to get the rag really, really hot and Dr. Bronner's pure Castile soap to rub it and it comes right off. And he basically says it's no problem. Then there's Alex says you can actually see a booty print. And that's funny because you kind of can. I see what he's saying. There's a booty print there. But he says that either leggings or the Tesla seats are bad quality. And he purchased seat covers for his Model Y so he doesn't have to deal with it. And I don't know that that's the case. Some of the other comments here said that, you know, basically said, oh, cheap leggings. But Rod, you mentioned you have a pair of pants, designer golf pants. And what's your
experience? Yeah, I've got some navy blue Peter Millar expensive golf pants. And when I put my hands in my pockets for an extended amount of time and I pull my hands out, my hands are blue. And I have the white seats in my X, and I'm afraid to wear those pants in the car now after reading this post. But so I don't know. I'm not an expert on clothing material and what bleeds and what doesn't, but I wouldn't be so quick to jump to conclusions about the quality of the clothing. As much as what interests me about this is, you know, we do have some folks that I think are maybe making suggestions that aren't proven, or they're just throwing things out there. And, you know, I don't want to try a magic eraser because someone in the comments says, hey, use a magic eraser, when they haven't tried it themselves. So,
magic erasers are essentially like a very high grit sandpaper.
Right. There's a lot of people that mention using a magic eraser, and I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that on my seats. So,
yep. So a couple of more comments here, baby wipes and rub hard. There were several people who mentioned alcohol, and a lot of car detailers coming in and saying, just don't go crazy with alcohol on these seats. It can damage them very quick. And somebody else said 50% water and 50% alcohol. But I think that if alcohol is that, you know, if it can damage the seats, you obviously don't want to use it. I don't know if I read this one, but baby wipes and rub hard is one. And, but I think, you know, Ravi says here, Colorex worked well for him. He said he basically had the same thing. And I wondered what Colorex was. Well, when I expanded his post, it was Clorox. It was bleach. And so that Clorox cleanup, or Clorox cleaner plus bleach, you know, putting that on a rag and then wiping it, I think is probably going to work as well. But with these chemicals, I just would say, like they always say on every bit of anything I've ever read in terms of working with the material and that I've ever ordered and used myself, always says, try it on a small area and make sure that it doesn't do anything first. But obviously bleach is going to get rid of any color. That's what it does.
Yeah. See, that one scares me as well. I like this post, Tori, from Andre Shabbat, who actually, he actually did an entirely new post based off of this one. He said, just a quick PSA, I have seen a ton of comments posts recently regarding cleaning your Tesla seats with alcohol, steam, or a magic eraser. As a professional detailer who owns two Teslas, I strongly advise against this, as the seats are laminated vinyl and will cost a lot of money to repair or replace. If you are stuck in this type of a situation, remember the following: no heat, no alcohol or alcohol-based products, and nothing abrasive. A pH neutral cleaner is best. Chemical Guys has a few decent ones, and a soft microfiber towel. Mm-hmm. Even if someone was lucky enough not to ruin their vehicle once or twice, I've seen the side effects of the damage caused firsthand. So, you know, I wish he kind of would have given the specific product, but he's saying a pH neutral cleaner, and Chemical Guys has a few decent ones, and a soft microfiber towel. See, this post makes me feel good about a guy who mm-hmm. owns two Teslas and does detailing for a living. This alcohol, this heat, and this abrasive products like the a magic eraser, these things all make my spidey senses tingle. This pH neutral cleaner from Chemical Guys and a microfiber towel, that's going to be my go-to when I have a situation like this with my bright white seats that I have to clean.
Well, and let's talk about that too. You know, is while your seats are bright white, consider getting a coating. Like there's a ceramic coating that you can get for seats. And
oh, I'm really interested in that. I saw a comment about that as well. And that's really what I would love to do.
And then you have a protective barrier that, number one, is going to be more resistant towards stains like this and dirt. But when stuff does get on it, you're not wiping the leather, you're wiping the protective, you know, coating. So you're going to protect your seats. But there's a couple of different ones you can do. I mean, heck, even the old, oh my gosh, what is the old, every time that you got a couch, they would offer to put the spray on it.
Scotch Guard.
Yeah. I'm wondering if Scotch Guard would work on this. They probably make Scotch Guard for vehicles. And so, but what they do is they put that protective barrier, it's waterproof. And
I want to do that.
I would go with the ceramic one, the ceramic coating. And it's probably not real. Everything is called ceramic these days, even if it's not really ceramic. But they probably make some kind of a compound that has some kind of similarity to ceramic.
Where do you go about getting something like this done? Just your local professional detailer? Is that who does this kind of stuff as far as ceramic coating?
You know, I like Amazon to do research like this, but Chemical Guys is good. I use some of their stuff. I've never used their protective coating. I've never had white leather before though. Yeah. And so I've not really had to worry about it, but your local detail guys could help you there. But the thing I like about Amazon is, you know, you find these products that have 20, 30, 40,000 reviews and you know, it's good.
Yeah. You
know, some reviews can be fake. So whenever I'm looking at a newer product on Amazon and there's, you know, 100 reviews and a lot of times they're written, this product is great. It worked really well for me. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's fake.
Yeah.
That's not real.
Yeah.
But this product, you can kind of tell the fake ones. But when people put pictures and show that they used it and that it works great, those are the ones that I'm interested in. So I would definitely look at the Amazon and I would look at like chemicalguys.com as well.
Yep. All right. Well, who would have thought black leggings would have generated 450 comments, but Madison did it. So let's move on to Linda. Is it possible to open the garage door without paying the $100 for MyQ? And Tori, before we jump into this, would you please share with our listeners what the MyQ garage door opening system is and what it does?
I will. And so this is actually Joe. Linda's next, but I think that I may have got that mixed up there for you. But Joe is the one asking about the MyQ. So a lot of Teslas came with Home Link, which is different than MyQ, but they do the same thing. They open your garage door. And so MyQ is
automatically without pushing a button.
Right. Automatically when you drive up, it'll process that with your Tesla. And I have MyQ, I have the app on my phone, and my garage door system uses MyQ to do Wi-Fi opening and closing of the garage door. But my Tesla doesn't have MyQ, it has HomeLink. And so when you're looking at your Tesla, if you go to the software screen and you tap more information or additional information, it'll tell you if you have HomeLink installed. If you have HomeLink installed, you do not need MyQ. Just to be very clear. So if HomeLink is installed, then you can set this to automatically open your garage door when or close it when you're leaving or open it when you arrive. Note that the automation of this, it just sends the signal. So if your garage door is opening or is already open and you get home, it'll send the signal and close it. So, and that's why I mentioned that is it's not perfect, but in your Tesla, it'll show you as you're driving up, it'll say auto opening or, you know, garage door activating in 50 feet, 40 feet, 30 feet, 20 feet. And you can hit it and tell it to skip it this time if the door's already open. But if you don't have HomeLink on your Tesla, then it doesn't have any buttons to close the garage door. It doesn't have that built in. You can buy HomeLink. That's probably the best option. However, it's $300. I think I actually looked it up. It's $350 for the HomeLink system. And you can get it, and you can get it installed at your Tesla service center, and that'll completely integrate with the system, and you can install HomeLink that way. However, if you don't want to do that, you can use MyQ. And this app, MyQ, it's $10 a month, and it will integrate in and pair your garage door with your Tesla using the MyQ app. So you're going to create an account in MyQ, you're going to pay MyQ, and then you'll integrate it in with Tesla, and it will automatically close your garage door that way. So before you buy it, make sure that you don't have HomeLink already, and then you can consider buying HomeLink for $300 or $350, or you can do MyQ for $10. I do want to scroll down here. Oh, go ahead.
Monthly, correct?
Monthly, $10 a month, yeah. So a lot of people are saying, I'm not going to pay $10 a month to open my garage door. And yeah, that's fine. I wanted to just show off what Dustin did here. And for those who aren't watching the video and just listening, what he's done is he's taken his normal remote. He took the bracket, the metal bracket out that clips it to the sun visor. And he used double-sided tape to put it below the screen in his Model 3 or Model Y. I don't know which one it is. This could be a 3 or a Y, but he's double taped it under the screen to the plastic, and you can't see it. Like, he's got a picture, you can't see that it's there, but then he shows a picture of it from up under pointing up from where the charging pad is. And so he just reaches his hand under and taps the button that way. So you don't have to have the clip and have it exposed on your visor as you're driving.
And the clip, with the Tesla visors being so unique and
they work fine.
Small, they don't they obstruct the proper usage of the visor. So this is actually a brilliant. I'm stealing this. I'm going to get some two-sided tape. I love this.
I thought you were going to say they don't clip to it. And so they do clip, but you're right, because the visors unfold.
Right.
And so if you've got it clipped, it can unfold.
Right. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. So this was a good idea. I saw that, wanted to share. Or, you know, of course, if you have MyQ, I don't pay monthly for MyQ to connect it to my phone. At least I don't think I do. And so I can just open it with my phone, and you know, good to go. So that's another option there for you.
Yeah. And just to recap, when you bought yours,
I have HomeLink.
It came with it actually transferred with the car, and you didn't have to do anything. It came with the car, just like FSD, correct?
It's a piece of hardware that's installed on the car.
Yeah.
And so you can see Lewis, he's taking a picture of when the service technician came out and installed the HomeLink system into his Tesla. And so he paid for it. Yes.
Yeah.
He says it was $300. I think it's $350 now, but mine came with HomeLink installed, but I don't think that they come that way from Tesla anymore.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, well, let's move on to our last post for today. That post was from Joe about the MyQ, and this is Linda saying, hi, anyone here lease a Tesla? Would you recommend it? Pros and cons of leasing a Tesla.
So, you know, just a couple of comments here going through. Todd says their lease is one of the worst in the industry. Look it over. Everyone's situation is different, but he would avoid it. And then his comments are basically people coming and saying, it's the same as any other lease I've ever owned, and it's fine. It's great. And then we've got Bill here that says, I leased my Model 3 because, you know, EVs as a whole are evolving so fast. I just don't want to have old tech. In 3 years, I'll either purchase or he'll lease another one. And then of course there's people saying that they would never lease a car or that they always lease a car. I think some benefits of leasing an EV are pretty clear, though. One is the technology, as Bill said. Another is just the battery. You know, these things are working off of battery, and although batteries are designed to last, you know, 500,000 miles, they do lose a little bit of range. And so you're essentially, with the lease, always getting a new vehicle. Mm-hmm. I think that there are some tax benefits sometimes to leasing. There can be very, very affordable. Like I know right now you can lease a new Model Y for $399 a month. Not the upgraded one that's rolling out, the refreshed one.
With a significant down payment though. It's not just $399 a month. There's a significant down payment. And typically the my experience being, a former dealer, is the advantage to leasing is if you own a business, you can write off 100% of the lease payment. If you own a business, and this is in the US, of course, tax laws vary all over the world, but in the United States, a lease payment is 100% tax deductible. A actual vehicle payment, you can only write off the interest and depreciation. So you can amortize the depreciation over the cost of owning the vehicle. So you can still get a deduction from owning it, but the lease is just very clean, straightforward, and you can deduct the entire payment each month. So,
right. So here is, here's one. Tesla has a big incentive on the older Model Ys here and, on the leases anyway, but it's a $2,999 down payment, 36 months. Now it is based on 10,000 miles at the $299, but you know, $3,000 down isn't too much, but that it includes a $7,500, incentive. And so it,
if you qualify, right?
Right. If you qualify, I'm sure. Yeah. And now, but if you look, the total taxes and fees is $29.99 down, and then total amount due at delivery though is $5,041 because you pay taxes and fees.
Yeah,
and that again, that includes a $7,500 incentive. So, just go through the details, put it in, get the pre-approval to see what the real number is going to be of what you need to bring down. Make sure that you qualify for any kind of tax savings or credits and stuff like that. But yeah, leasing can be a great way to go. If you don't drive that many miles and you want a new car every 3 years or 2 years or whatever, lease number you want to do, it could be a great fit for you. But especially a lot of people are uncomfortable because you don't own the car technically. Yep. it's their car. You're just paying to use it for 3 years.
Yeah. And if you qualify for the $7,500, I mean, that actually $5,000 at $299 a month is probably going to be way less that you're going to end up absorbing into your investment than you're going to absorb into your investment from purchasing and the traditional depreciation that you're going to get month after month and year after year. I couldn't do it. I wasn't eligible for the $7,500. So the lease, I did recently buy a new Tesla and the lease didn't work as well for me because I was going to have to put such a fat down payment down that I would rather have just owned. But if you do qualify for the $7,500, I mean, that's still a pretty good deal that, because nowadays $299 a month, $399 a month, car payments are $1,000 a month now. You know, those are like 1990s car payment prices. So,
right.
Yeah. Pretty good deal.
Yeah.
So, anything else there before we wrap on up on the lease versus the purchase, Tori?
No, I think just look at a comparison of what are the financing rates? What is your lease rate? How many miles are you going to drive? Because that's where a lease is great. If you don't drive a lot of miles, if you drive a lot of miles, the penalties for additional mileage over what you get per year, and people don't understand this.
Oh yeah.
Is, that, if you say you're going to drive 10,000 miles, but you really drive 15, then instead of them getting their car back with 30,000 miles over a 3 year period, it has 45,000 miles. I've seen it where leases are at 75 cents per mile that are over. And so you start doing the math on that and 15,000 miles times 0.75. So now you return the car and they're like, okay, you owe us $11,250 in mileage
right,
overages. So it's better to go over, and you can select between 10,000, 12,500 or 15,000 miles a year. If you drive more than that, a lease is not for you.
Right. Yep. Yeah, exactly. I kind of, you know, the lease, if you've got a multi vehicle household, you know, your husband or wife has another vehicle, and you can, you know, if y'all are going out to dinner or going on, you know, to see the family, and you can really monitor the mileage and ensure you're not going over, can be smart. But yeah, I mean, even if you think you're going to drive less than 10,000 miles a year over the course of 3 years, things change in life. Maybe your job changes and your commute's longer. Maybe you didn't realize your daughter was going to have a kid and you were going to become a grandparent, and now you're driving every weekend to see your grandchild. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, things change, you know, so in terms of how many miles you drive. And so all those are things to consider with a lease. So
remote working, you might go, yeah, I drive less than 10,000 miles a year with remote working, only to change a job where there's no longer remote working, or, you know, all of a sudden you need to go into the office 3 or 4 days a week.
Like, and the government employees in the United States right now have all just been told they're going back to the office. Yeah. Mr. Musk had a lot to do with that, I think.
Yeah. So I think that there's a lot of people who are going to be unhappy with that. And just on a side note with that, not to get too political, but they're expecting that a large percentage of that workforce will just end up no longer working there, because there's a sneaking suspicion that they're not really doing any work. They're just getting paid. Some of those people, not all of them. There's a lot of government workers who work hard.
There's a lot of good memes out there on that topic. So with that, before we get off into the weeds, we will wrap this thing up. And been a good episode, Tori. And before we go, anything else you want to share with our listeners today?
Yeah, just check out our auctions. We're going to be, you're going to be seeing a lot of opportunities there to not only list your car, it's free to list your car. We have a tool on our website. When you go to the sell my Tesla page, you can get a range, an estimated value, market value range for your Tesla. Yeah. And so you can start there just to see. You might think that you're upside down. And maybe it's not as bad as you think it is. If you're wanting to sell, we've got some people right now who are, you know, one gentleman just bought a Model 3 and was like, I really want the Cybertruck, which is funny to go from Model 3 to a Cybertruck. And he was asking what his options were to do that. And so check your value out there, or submit your car over, upload some photos. We can help you with professional photos. We can help you get your car inspected. We can help in every way possible for you to sell your Tesla, where you can avoid the hassles of selling it yourself on Marketplace and all of the is this still available, and will you take less, and, you know, the you know, people just giving you the runaround there, or selling it to a dealer. You can get a more market value instead of a wholesale value, and it's free to the seller. So check out T3 Auctions. Go to teslatipsandtricks.com. Go to the Sell My Tesla in the navigation, and you can see more information there.
Yep. All right. Great. Well, thanks, Tori. Been fun as always. And thanks everyone for listening. We'll see you on the next episode.
Yep. See you next time.